Good afternoon. Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Tom Wheeler, Executive Director of EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center. The Eco News Report is brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, the Eco News. And joining me by phone from Ashland, Oregon, is Joseph Vail, and we're going to be talking about Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's recommendation to President Trump to remove protections from national monuments across the United States, in particular, kind of one in our backyard that folks might care about. Welcome, Joseph.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
All right. Well, Joseph, tell us a little bit about you and KS Wild.
All right. Well, As you said, I live here in Ashland, Oregon, and as you know, Tom, KS Wild and EPIC, we're like two peas in a pod. We work together a lot.
BFFs.
And, you know, KS Wild was founded, we're actually celebrating our 20-year anniversary this year, so back in 1997. And we really work in this incredible region, this incredibly diverse region, the Klamath-Siskiyou region, here in Southwest Oregon and Northwest California, working to protect the public lands, the wild rivers, the wildlife that inhabit these mountains. You know, it's a really special place. We still have salmon coming up our streams. We still have bears in our mountains. We still have big roadless expanses. So that's our job, is to try to protect that. And we do that with a little help from our friends, including the great folks over at EPIC that we kind of share a southern boundary with and often collaborate on down in the Klamath River country and on further south. And so, yeah, it's quite a job. I actually got my start here at KS Wild about 1999, so I've been here for quite a while. And before that, I was surveying for rare and threatened wildlife for the Medford District of the Bureau of Land Management, not too far from Ashland and around the Grants Pass, Oregon area. And that's where I really learned about the forests here and you know, really kind of cut my teeth in what was going on with timber sale program and mining and many of the threats to the forest, and thought I really ought to do something more than I was doing at the federal agencies to try to protect the special resources and values that we have here in our public estate. And so I started working at KS Wild and have been here for a while now.
Yeah, gosh, that is a long time. You've certainly put in your tour of duty. And so congratulations on 20 years. And I know that you have an event this fall, your annual kind of fall celebration dinner. When's that going on?
Yeah, so that's October 14th, and it's at the Ashland Armory. Yeah, so it'll be a special one this year, given the anniversary. But we've been doing, I think this is our 13th or so annual dinner. So yeah, it's always a fun time. And Ashland at the Armory, have music, live auction. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year by far, and we usually sell out. So if you're thinking about coming, especially if you're in the Humboldt area, you should buy your tickets soon. You can get them at kswild.org. And yeah, we have room for about 300 people, but you know, we'll sell out before the dinner. So it's a good time, had by all, for sure. And usually some good wine and beer and stuff like that there, and local food as well.
Cool. Well, so as I said in the introduction to this show, we're going to be talking about national monuments today. And it struck me, I was having kind of a random conversation with somebody about national monuments, and they didn't really know what a national monument was. So I described it as kind of a almost like a mini national park, but it's not quite that. Can you talk a little bit about what a national monument is and how do they come into existence?
Yeah. National monuments are designated often by the executive branch. And so, you know, you can actually have national monuments that are established through an act of Congress. But in 1906, Congress ceded the authority to establish national monuments to the President of the United States. And ever since then, many of America's greatest treasures have been protected as national monuments. You know, places like Yosemite and the Grand Canyon and these areas that are now national parks actually were first established as national monuments. So it's a pretty important tool that has had the effect of protecting some of our most special landscapes and places and also cultural places, places of scientific and cultural interest. So places with petroglyphs and You know, places like, for example, more recently, the Bears Ears National Monument in southern Utah. You know, some of that country there that is highly valued by Native American tribes was established as a national monument under the 1906 Antiquities Act. You know, there's a few around here. We have the Oregon Caves National Monument, which is just north of the Oregon-California border off of 199. If anyone's been there, that was established by President Taft many, many administrations ago. And then the one that we're probably going to talk a lot about today is the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument that was established in the year 2000 by President Clinton, actually straddling now the Oregon-California border near the I-5.
All right. And so we have a long history of designating national monuments, and it doesn't seem to be kind of a partisan issue normally. It seems that kind of all presidents seem to like to designate some national monuments, but it is now a political issue, I suppose, because we have some fairly radical folks in office. So walk me through what did Ryan Zinke do recently, and who is Ryan Zinke?
Yeah, great question. And yeah, just real quick, I want to underscore what you said. I mean, the Antiquities Act has been used by, you know, both Republican and Democratic presidents for many years. You know, even George W. Bush used the Antiquities Act to protect some important marine areas. And so, yeah, it is more recently become, I guess, a partisan issue in this administration. So you might remember there was an election, and President Trump won that one, apparently, maybe with some help, but he is the president. So given that he's the president, he gets to nominate a cabinet, and part of that cabinet are the people that oversee the primary departments of the executive branch, and one of those departments is the Department of Interior. And so under that authority, the president nominated Ryan Zinke, who was the sole congressman from the state of Montana, and he was approved as the Secretary of Interior. So he took over that position under President Obama. The person that had that position was Sally Jewell. And so Ryan Zinke came in, and, you know, he brought on a bit different set of priorities for the department. And mainly, you know, he was very interested in opening up the vast areas that the public owns and the department manages to oil and gas operations, because that's kind of where he found his footing, was kind of being a friend to the oil and gas industry. So we saw him really focus on that right out the gate. But another thing that he wanted to focus on was the monuments that were established under the Obama administration. And if you look across the board, you know, you see that with this president really trying to undo many of the things that President Obama had done through his term of office. And so Ryan Zinke, when he came in, I think was charged with looking at that legacy that Obama left and trying to figure out how he could maybe kind of cut the legs out from under it. And one of the things they focused on were these national monuments. And so what they did was President Trump, when he was on his executive order signing flurry, one of the executive orders that he did was to review the national monuments that had been established. And he actually went back 20 years. So it wasn't just the Obama national monuments, but all the national monuments. And so Zinke went and looked at as actually 27 different national monuments that had been established in the last 20 years. 22 of those were on land, and the other five were marine monuments. And so these are monuments mostly throughout the West, but, you know, in other places like in the Southeast. And so he was charged with putting together a review, and that's what he did.
And I think that one of the untold stories here, or one of the things that people might not be putting together, is how this kind of plays in with some of the kind of crazy backlash that we've had in the last couple of years against public land ownership and public land management. Do you see some relation between Trump's executive order, this focus on national monuments, and let's say the Bundy brothers take over the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge?
I do think there's some some overlap. I think there's some similarities there, and there's some of the same ideology of folks that don't like public land, also don't like national monuments. And I think some of it is not based in reality. You know, there's some of the issues, you know, about access, for example. You know, we're going to lose access to these lands. You know, public lands are what give us access. If these lands are privatized, we will not have access. You know, and I think, you know, if a road, for example, doesn't get repaired or is closed, you know, they see that as like tyranny of the government, when often it's a lack of a budget, or the road was hardly being used and was, you know, falling into the stream, you know, was in disrepair. So, you know, I get a little frustrated sometimes when I see some of these arguments about why we should privatize our public lands, or why we should get rid of national monuments that don't really, are not based in fact. But I do think there's some overlap with that. And so, you know, we see a lot of the same folks that are asking for privatization of public lands that are also fighting the protection of national monuments. I think an important thing with national monuments is that they're not national parks or not wilderness in particular. You know, a lot of people think, well, this means it's hands-off. And, you know, the national monument, for example, here at the Cascade Siskiyou has hundreds of miles of roads in it, and they will stay that way. And there is some wilderness that was actually designated by Congress in 2009 that overlaps the monument. But aside from that, you know, this is not pristine landscape. It's a very important landscape. And maybe just a little bit about that real quick, if I could, Tom, is just to talk about what is so special with the Cascade Siskiyou is that this is an area where the Siskiyou region comes together with the Cascades, the Sierra Nevada, the Great Basin, and is a real melting pot of biodiversity. So the Cascade Siskiyou was the first national monument established in the United States for the sole purpose of protecting biological diversity. So this is a place where we have many rare species. We have species that occur there and nowhere else on Earth, but really what's interesting about it is how it's a crossroads of these different regions, and it's really important connectivity for plants and animals to move across the landscape and to get from the interior lands to the more coastal lands. And so it's a really, really unique and special place for nature, for wildlife conservation, and for especially for plant diversity. And so, you know, through establishing that monument, the proclamation for that monument was to preserve those what are called objects of scientific and biological interest, those rare species, those plants and animals, those assemblages of plants and animals. So the monument, though, it's not wilderness. And so really where these issues, you know, how these areas are managed are really done so through a management plan, which is an open process that people can comment on. And, you know, it's performed by the, in this case, is the Bureau of Land Management, because they're the administrator of the public land in that area. So it's an open process. And again, I guess I just want to make the point that this is not wilderness. This is just public land that is managed to protect its unique attributes.
All right. You're listening to the Eco News Report. I'm your host, Tom Wheeler, and I'm speaking with Joseph Vail from KS Wild about national monuments. All right. So Trump ordered Zinke to create a report, and Zinke has produced that report, but it's still not officially public. How do we know about this report, and what does it say, Joseph?
Yeah, it's interesting. The report was not made public, but we thought that it was going to be, and it turns out it was a secret report that in the executive order that Trump issued for Zinke to carry out the review, he gave Zinke a timeline, which was 120 days from the date of the order, and that ended a few weeks ago, and yet we didn't hear a peep, and it was essentially a secret report, and it was not made available. But we kept hearing that of the monuments that were reviewed, that the Cascade Siskiyou was kind of still in the crosshairs, and it was just about a week ago or so, finally, the leaks that the White House has been known for came through, and the report was leaked out, and so we were able to take a look at the report and see exactly what Zinke was recommending for the monuments. And so they still have several monuments in the crosshairs, including the Bears Ears National Monument in Utah and the monument up in Maine and several of the marine monuments and others that are that I think he's recommending significant damaging changes to and shrinkage of and to essentially, you know, gut the protections for the national monuments. But as of yet, Trump has not taken action on them, on the recommendations. So these are just recommendations at this point. Interestingly, one thing I will note about the report is it seemed like it was put together pretty quickly. There were mistakes in the report, including, for example, saying that the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument did not allow travel across the roads, which was completely wrong. Many of us were shocked to hear that since we'd been driving on those roads this summer. And so it seemed pretty hastily put together, and it wasn't maybe the best work for the president to look at in terms of making a decision. So we're thinking they'll probably take their time and make sure they know exactly what they're talking about before they do anything. But we'll see about that.
Well, I think that some of these mistakes may be attributable to who had Zinke's ear in writing the report. So I know he came out to Southern Oregon, and specifically to kind of talk about the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument. I don't imagine that he called up the KS Wild offices and asked to talk to you about the National Monument, though, right?
That's right. He spent most of his time with our Congressman Greg Walden and meeting with the timber industry for the most part and anyone else they could find that was opposed to the monument. You know, they said there wasn't a good process leading up to the establishment of the monument, but it's simply not true. There were four public meetings last year talking about the monument, including, you know, hundreds of people that turned out. There was thousands of comments were sent in. There was a very extensive process of public input that led to the establishment of the monument. The monument was, in fact, originally scientists recommended an expansion of the monument that was much greater than what ended up getting designated, largely due to the fact of a lot of the input that was received. But somehow they got the impression that there was no public process, so they said, no, we need a new public process. So, you know, they opened up a new public process when they started the review. They got, I don't know what it was, it was like 2.5 million comments.
2.8 million.
2.8, okay. Yeah, you know, it's overwhelmingly in favor of continuing to protect the monument. And, you know, you could tell Zinke was interested in the Cascade-Siskiyou because he came out here. You know, he didn't go to all 27 monuments, but he did come here. And like you said, like you asked, he spent a lot of time with the opposition. I did actually get to meet with the secretary and a group of supporters, all of us, which included even our United States senators. And it was somewhat shocking that he only gave them, you know, a meeting with about 12 other supporters of the monument, about a half an hour meeting or so that he had scheduled. So it wasn't, you know, nearly 2 days that he spent with the opposition. But we ended up meeting him about everywhere that we could. You know, when we heard he was somewhere, we'd make sure folks that were supporters showed up. At his press conference at Hyatt Lake up in South Cascades, there were some folks out there and paddle boards that came up with their We Heart Our Monument. And so we made sure that the supporters were heard the best that we could.
So this is not the first time that your Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument has been under attack. Can you talk about how else the timber industry and its allies are trying to get after that national monument?
In Western Oregon, a lot of the BLM lands are actually managed under a law called the 1937 ONC Act. And so these forests kind of have a special designation in that they're subject to that law. Although they're public lands in every way, there's certain language in that ONC Act. And for decades, you know, the BLM has still used their latitude, because when you read the law, it's a multiple use mandate. So, you know, it does say that there should be, you know, forest management and timber production, but it also says that watersheds should be protected and recreation shall be maintained, which is quite progressive when you think about 1937. And of course, since 1937, these lands have been subject to several other environmental laws like the Clean Water Act and the Endangered Species Act and several other conservation-oriented laws. So, but the timber industry is really focused in on that 1937 Act, and they, as soon as the monument was expanded, they filed lawsuits in Washington, D.C. to undo the monument expansion, claiming that the 1937 ONC Act means that the area cannot be protected as a national monument. And so, and actually they filed, well, three separate lawsuits, two in Washington, D.C., and one in Oregon. So we are actually interveners in the Oregon lawsuit to try to defend the monument. But since the monument review process happened, that whole court case was stayed. So we're waiting to see what the courts are going to do with that until after the monument review has taken place.
So there is some controversy on whether or not Trump can actually downsize some of these national monuments, remove protections imposed by some of his predecessors. So the law is very explicit that a president can create national monuments, but I believe it's silent on this other question. Do you have some opinion on this, Joseph?
Yeah, I mean, I've read, you know, people that are smarter than me have looked at this closely, and you know, the lawyers are pretty clear that the Antiquities Act is a one-way street. You know, it's not a monument designate and undesignate law. It's a creation of national monuments law. Now, Congress, on the other hand, can certainly undo monuments. And, you know, there's certain questions around, well, you know, can presidents shrink them or weaken them? And pretty much the most expert opinion is that, no, they cannot. So it will be interesting to see what the president does. I mean, I think the smartest thing for this administration to do would be to recommend that Congress make changes to the monument, which I think is fine, and that would be a great way to go for them. And, of course, Congress can do that anyway, but they could be explicit with what they think those recommendations should be. But if the president tries to act alone and do an executive action that would shrink or remove the basic protections for the national monument, I think they're in pretty shaky legal ground.
And I love to point out some hypocrisy here. One of now President Trump's favorite lines when he was on the campaign trail was about how Obama abused his executive power, this executive overreach, and the vast number of executive orders issued and all of his ways to try to circumvent Congress. And this is exactly that. This is the Trump administration acting in a manner that is legally questionable and bypassing Congress and really attempting to expand the power of the executive at the expense of some of our other branches of government. So, you know, not that the Trump administration is immune from this sort of stuff. It seems like a pretty daily occurrence that we have some ethics scandal, but it's just, I guess this is what living in the Trump administration is like when it comes to,
right. I was going to say, Tom, if you're going to count all of the moments of hypocrisy in this administration, you could have that as your full-time job. It is quite stunning. But yes, the candidate that called out too much executive action is now the president that is using it more than any. So, you know, the one silver lining there is sometimes to not great success, though. And the courts have been quick to rein in the illegal executive actions, as you saw in the travel ban and others. So we don't know if the administration is trying to get smarter and you know, do a better job of how they put these things together. And I guess I would just say that hopefully they'll get smart enough to realize that, you know, this one in particular is not a good one for them to do, because the Antiquities Act, again, like I said, is about protecting national monuments, not about gutting them. So I don't think that the authority rests there for them to do that.
And I imagine that this question will be answered in court in time.
Yes.
All right. Let's close off the show by talking again about the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. One thing that we always say at Epic is the best way to protect public lands is to love them, and to love them is to go out and visit them. Joseph, do you have a favorite spot in the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument that you like to go?
Well, there are several, but I mean, the one that really just sticks out is Pilot Rock. And if anyone who's driven over the Oregon-California border has probably seen Pilot Rock off to the east of the I-5 when you're driving on that stretch of road, and kind of right before you come down into the Rogue Valley, you know, there's this columnar basalt, old volcanic neck. You know, it's a relatively short hike, but it's just pretty dramatic, and you get up to the top of Pilot Rock, and you can look out and see down into the lower Klamath River drainage near where the dams are that many people have talked about getting removed. And further on south, you can see Mount Shasta, just the awesomeness that it is coming out of the landscape. And then to the west, you can look off onto the Siskiyou Crest and see Mount Ashland, and then further on down, you know, all the way over towards Preston Peak into the Siskiyou Wilderness. And then to the north, you know, is the Rogue Valley, and you can see the north end of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument from there, which is Grizzly Peak right outside of Ashland, kind of the peak that comes up of the old Cascades, the old volcanoes that are not the newer ones like Mount Shasta. And then, you know, further to the northwest, you can see the new Cascades like Mount McLaughlin. And it's just a really neat spot to kind of get a view, a panoramic view of the Oregon-California border. And it's one of my favorite spots, and you can do it, you know, in a few hours. So if you ever get a chance to check out the top of Pilot Rock, it is worth it.
All right. Well, Joseph, thank you so much for joining us on the Eco News Report. And also thank you for the good work of KS Wild. We here at Epic always love to work with you and your staff, and we think that you just do some bang-up work. So keep it up, and thank you for protecting the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument.
Thank you, Tom. Back at you.
All right. Well, that was Joseph Vail from KS Wild. And so KS Wild's turning 20. Epic is turning 40 this year, and we are celebrating this fall at the Mateel, November 3rd, for our fall celebration. You can get your tickets online at wildcalifornia.org. You can also check us out at Wildberries or Redway Liquor. We'd love to see you there. It is a fun event, and we'll have some great bands there as well. Casey Neal and the Norway Rats, and Alice DiMaselli, and Joanne Rand, our own local Joanne Rand. So I hope to see you there. This has been the Eco News Report. My name is Tom Wheeler, and I've been your host for the past half hour. I was just speaking with Joseph Vail from KS Wild about preserving their national monuments against Ryan Zinke and President Trump. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the archive programs page at khsu.org. You can also subscribe to the Eco News podcast. This is really cool. So if you are on the Apple Podcasts app or any of your podcast app, just search for us, Eco News Report, and subscribe and listen on the go. It's great. The Eco News Report is produced at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Many thanks, as always, to Fred for engineering. Join us again right here next week for the Eco News Report.